Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 29th of August, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we need you to give us a call. And there, I have sound now. It's very exciting now. We need you to give us a call. The numbers are 966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. We'll be taking your calls on all kinds of interesting computery stuff. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about this week's poll. Every week we do a poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. This week's poll is based on news article. Blu-ray may have a future in the living room, but its prospects in the PC market appear bleak. A new study by market researcher iSupply shows that only 3.6% of PCs this year will ship with Blu-ray high-definition optical drives, a figure that will rise to just 16.3% by 2013. Why the sluggish adoption rate? Michael Yang, an iSupply senior analyst, says that consumers can't find a compelling reason to pay extra for a Blu-ray drive, in part because of the anemic selection of Blu-ray movies. Yang made some valid points, and it's possible that Blu-ray drives will never become standard equipment in consumer PCs, even after 2013. Consumer PCs, particularly notebooks and netbooks, simply don't need Blu-ray, and here's a few reasons. HD movies are wasted on small laptop screens. Notebooks outsell desktops, and notebooks have relatively small screens. A 17-inch display qualifies as a big-screen experience on a laptop. Blu-ray's HD brilliance is lost on a laptop screen. The format is best suited to a home theater setup with a 50-inch or larger HD TV. Living room Blu-ray players are cheap. Some Blu-ray fans might argue that consumers could stream Blu-ray movies from their laptops to their big-screen TVs. An HDMI connection would work, too, but they probably won't. Most folks would rather spend $200 for a Blu-ray player for the living room. Blu-ray isn't a great backup drive. Blu-ray storage capacity may be impressive, but who wants to back up a massive hard drive to a stack of discs? It's easier to buy an external hard drive, which is dirt cheap these days, or to use an online backup service. Blu-ray won't vanish entirely, of course, but it'll be little more than a niche peripheral that appeals to a small segment of the market. So that leads us to this week's poll question, which is Blu-ray drives in computers. And your choices are, I've got one, I want one, I don't really care, no thanks, and blue who now? So far, we've got 50...
Blue, you left me standing alone.
All right, so far we've got 51 votes. The top choice with 51% is I don't really care, followed by no thanks. And so that means, 78% of you could really no thanks. Only 22% of you and
what
change.
What about my 50-inch laptop? Then I can see the Blu-ray on
50-inch laptop.
Are you kidding?
For Blu-ray. Right. Well, that's sort of what a lot of the online services already do, the iTunes store, the Amazon store. You get two versions when you buy something. You get an SD version for your laptop, for your iPhone, iPod, Zune, whatever. And you get a bigger HD version for your big-screen TV.
Right.
Because it's as the article and you mentioned, it's just a waste to have that Blu-ray information on such a tiny screen. And the extra processing power, it's got to scale it down. Mm-hmm. The battery life it's going to take to play that. So just play the smaller version on your laptop.
Right. So when you're done with that poll choice, I know you've got a lot more to say about Blu-ray. So feel free to take a look at that little yellow box underneath the poll. And click on the Give Us Your Opinion link. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Well done. don't get cocky, kid. Plenty of time to screw up later.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But celebrate while you can, you know?
Right. And the question is, why don't you want a Blu-ray drive in your computer? So far, only three people have... have posted so far, so we'll see. At any rate, what about Blu-ray? Do you have it? Do you not have it? What do you think? Give us a call, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415.
And even in the consumer home theater market, Blu-ray isn't really making that big a standing because for most people, DVD is good enough. Even when you have that 40, 50-inch screen, a DVD, upscale DVD is good enough until you see a really, really good Blu-ray disc on a really, really good television.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And most people just don't have that.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. And most people these days don't have the $4,000 or $5,000 to get a really, really good television.
Yeah. And then the $1,000, $2,000 stereo system to go along with it.
Right. Right.
Before we go to the phones, I did want to mention one thing. Very important thing.
Very important thing, and then we'll go to the phones.
This is the last week, folks. Today is the last day to get your tickets for the Soundbites birthday party. Because, next Saturday at this time, we're going to be
partying
hardy up at the Radisson.
We'll be on the air at this time.
Yep, we'll be on
so
the
we'll
air.
We'll have to stop partying for a couple hours.
Maybe you'll have to stop partying.
That's your business. You do what you want.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But we will be giving away tickets during the next 2 hours. So listen for the cue to call in, because we've got quite a few to give
this
away.
This is the last chance.
It is your last chance to get. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. So don't walk away from the radio.
That's it.
Yep.
All right, we will go to the phones. Our first caller is Jack. Jack, where are you calling from?
I'm calling about 280 miles from Rochester in Orange County, New York.
Orange County, New York. What's your question, Jack?
Congratulations on your upcoming anniversary.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Question is...
20, I believe, is...
I'm going to have a bumper for you.
Oh, yeah,
okay. I've got a problem with a network connection on a laptop.
Uh-huh.
It works fine wirelessly. It's an older laptop, and I have to use a wireless USB adapter.
Sure.
When I plug in a cable, it tells me that there's no network cable plugged in. Or the network cable is unplugged, I think is the exact word.
Right.
Does it see the card okay? In other words, there's no exclamation mark in the device manager for the network card?
And in device manager, it's working fine. It shows up, no yellow exclamations. I've updated drivers on it.
Okay, the first...
I've been through Google, and I've tried a bunch of things. So I'm hoping you guys have some kind of magic solution here.
All right, let's talk about the things that... the easy things that probably you already tried. I'm sure you've already changed the actual network cable itself.
I've tried it on several different computers with different connections with a known working cable.
And it works, and it works on the other ones and it doesn't work on this one?
Correct.
Okay, so that means that it's good and the thing, whatever router or cable modem or DSL modem you've got it plugged into works. So the
correct.
Next thing I would have to suggest is that there's something simply not right with the Ethernet jack in that laptop.
One thing I might suggest first is try safe mode with networking. Ethernet will work under that. Wireless probably won't, but Ethernet should work. And that might rule out any odd third-party things. Your firewall could be blocking the Ethernet, something like that.
Excellent thought.
Something to try. Yeah, but it could simply just be a bad Ethernet jack.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the few things I didn't try with safe mode. I did try disabling Norton and the Windows firewall, and that didn't make any difference in regular mode, though.
This is Windows XP?
XP, right. XP Home.
All right. There is a utility up on our web... Oh, you can't get there. Well, if you can get to it from another computer, up on
not
our...
Not a problem.
Pardon?
That's not a problem. Or I can plug in the wireless adapter and do it that way.
There is a utility called WinXP...
It's a socket fix.
Yeah, it's WinIP fix.
And there's that.
Pardon?
Been there, done that.
Well, yeah, then you... it's possible that a network could have gotten fried.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Okay.
Check the physical wires in the port. I've seen sometimes where they're just bent or touching. And that,
all right,
and that could be
thought.
It, but
that's
yeah.
Another thing I had not tried.
Yep.
But that's it. It really... if another computer works with that cable and your computer works wirelessly, the only thing really left is something to do with the physical port or the driver. And if you've got the newest, latest driver,
yeah,
then we're down to the physical port.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was leaning, but I thought maybe you guys had some kind of magic solution for me.
And network cards are so cheap nowadays. You can pick them up. You know,
it's a laptop.
Oh, laptop. Ouch.
Well, network PC cards aren't quite so cheap, but you can do it. But if the Wi-Fi works, that's better than nothing. Yeah.
Actually, that's what I was suggesting, because it's got a PC MCIA slot, and I was going to suggest that you buy a card for that.
Well, and to go back a step, why not use the wireless?
It's not my computer, and I suggested that, and I don't know why he doesn't want to use wireless. Okay. I guess maybe he thought that a wired connection would be faster or something.
It's
or more
not.
Secure.
Well, it is faster if you're transferring large files computer to computer on your network.
Right,
it is
on your own network.
On your own network. The internet is much, much slower than any wireless.
Right. Okay. I mean, if you're on, if you're on.
On wireless B, on 11 megabit.
Right. And in Rochester, you're maybe 10, maybe 15. If this person's in Buffalo and they can get 40 megabits, then...
Yeah, they win.
Yeah, right. But,
well, then you go to wireless G, which is 54.
Right. But, yeah, in general, that's generally not as true as it was years ago. But even so, really the only thing it looks like it could be is the physical port itself.
Give it a shot and let us know.
Do you want to talk about this cartoon?
I don't know, do I?
The from XLCD, the Guru flowchart.
Oh, I love XLCD. Yeah. XLCD is a cartoon by a guy named Randall Monroe. It is my single favorite webcomic on the internet, of course, Pencognito.
Yeah, from the Sudo
by Jen Beavan right here in Rochester.
Sudo Make Me a Sandwich fame.
Yes. Two guys talking. One says, "Make me a sandwich." The other guy says, "What? No." Then the first guy says, "Sudo, make me a sandwich." And he says, "Oh, okay." Which, if you're a computer, if you're a Linux or Unix fan, that makes a lot of sense to you.
You know what we should do? Let's start getting rid of some of these tickets.
Crank them out.
Tell you what, if you're the 10th caller, if you dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, you can win some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. It's your last chance, folks, so pick up the phone, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415 to get your tickets. Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their family, and listeners who've won in the past 30 days, sorry, you're not eligible. But if you want the complete rules on this contest, you can write Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. Be the 10th caller and get your tickets for the big party.
Which is on next Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel. We're live at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester, Riverside. The party's from 11 to 3. We'll be live on the air from noon to 2 right there. You can come and talk to us live on the air. It's going to be a great party. There's going to be munchies and a cash bar and a birthday cake and all kinds of other excellent and exciting things. The important thing to remember, though, is if you win the tickets today, you have to come to the party to pick them up. That's the only way you're going to get them.
You
don't even have
to
make an extra trip.
Wife.
That's right, and you don't even have to make an extra trip. And apparently we have a winner.
We got a winner. All right.
Excellent.
Sweet.
Excellent. All right. Don't despair. There will be more chances in this upcoming remainder of these 2 hours to win tickets for yourself. So it's going to be way fun, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
This is going to be way cool.
Yep. All right.
Just reading the biography of the XKCD guy. He's a graduate with a degree in physics, and he worked at NASA's Langley Research Center building robots.
Yeah.
This guy knows a thing or two.
Yeah, he does. He knows a lot. And he writes this great online webcomic. It's about math and something and romance. I forget what. And he has lots of really interesting things to say.
Sarcasm. Romance, sarcasm, math, and language.
That was it. And it's in general, it's excellent. And I'm very impressed by it. It's updated every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Steve wants to talk about a particular one.
Well, there was a comic that came out couple of days ago. It's the tech support flowchart, and it's basically premises to, you know, dear various parents, grandparents, and coworkers, and other non-computer people. We as tech support people don't magically know everything. We know how to use Google, basically. So when you're having a problem, first thing you do is look through all your menu bars and try to see if you see a menu command that sounds sort of like what you're trying to do. And if that's it, you win.
Yeah, right.
If that's not it, Google it.
That's what we do. That's Steve will put up a link to this. The webcomic in general, one of my favorites. Pencognito is excellent, too. That's Jen Beaven. She's a local.
User Friendly was good for a while, but I've sort of backed off on it.
Yeah. Questionable content is still fun.
Yeah.
LICD, one of my all-time favorites. Least I could do. Yep. It's very, very funny. Yep. Very funny. Not always PC or... it's certainly not necessarily G-rated, but it is exceptionally good. And I enjoy it. I have a bunch of web comics that I read every day, and I've found an interesting Perl script that lets you suck them all out of the pages they're on and put them on your own web page, so when you go to look at them, they're right there. That's both good and bad, because these people live and die by the advertising on their pages, so they want the hits instead.
Yeah.
So it's always better if you go to that page and look at them.
But you're unique in that you're able to do that.
Oh, and I still, for LICD and for XKCD and for Jen Beaven's stuff and Pencognito and a couple of others, I go to the pages, too, so that they get the hits and they get the revenue.
And in plain English, that is?
That is, you actually go to the webpage.
No, what you just mentioned, though, a lot of folks are going, huh?
Well, that's all right. Those are just for the
everything
the
done by acronyms. What I've run into this week is one of the sites I go to for jokes and comics got hit with the Windows Antivirus 2009 advertising virus. So when I try to view the page, it pops up and says my C drive has viruses.
Right.
I don't have a C drive. But yeah.
Oh, wow.
My daughter got that the other day. Of course, she's on a Linux box, too. She looks over at me and said, Dad, my C drive's infected. I went, yeah? She said, I think I'll just ignore it. I said, that's my girl.
You taught her well.
I taught her well. But yeah, folks, there's a lot of this scam going around on the internet. You go to a web page, and all of a sudden something comes up and says your C drive is infected. Close your browser and don't go back to that site for a while. It's a scam on the internet. Your web browser is not really the place to do scanning of your system. There are a couple of legitimate sites you can do that from, but you have to go to them specifically and decide on your own to start the actual scan. So
that's a new thing we're calling scareware. They're scaring you into clicking the button and giving over your money.
Right. And so you don't want to do that. You want to be very careful. Well, that cool jazz in the background tells us that not only are we on member-supported Jazz 90.1, but that it's time for us to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you on this countdown edition to the 20th anniversary of Soundbites.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening at 22 minutes after the hour to Soundbites. Hey, party coming up, and we're in a party-giving mood.
Let's give away some more tickets.
Let's do it.
If you're the 10th caller, I told you folks, you got to stay tuned. We're going to be giving away tickets. If you dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, you can win some of the last few tickets. Left.
Yep, coming down to the wire.
For the Soundbites birthday party. You're not going to want to miss out on it. The 10th caller to 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. You could be a lucky winner and be there with us on next Saturday. You got to come to the party and pick your tickets up there. You'll see my lovely wife. She'll be handing them out.
Yep.
So don't worry about it.
Now, the party is next Saturday at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside from 11 to 3. We'll be live. We'll be there the whole time, but we'll be live on the air from noon to 2. So come on down. It's going to be a great party. Get your tickets. If you are a winner today, you come to the party to pick up your tickets. That's the only way you're going to get them. Don't come here to the studio because they won't have them, and you will have wasted a trip and annoyed whoever is sitting out at the desk.
Yeah.
So next Saturday is when you get your tickets. It's going to be from 11 to 3 at the Rochester, at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside, right in downtown Rochester, New York. And we'll be there live. There's going to be refreshments, munchies.
There's a parking there's a parking garage under the hotel.
And we already have a wiener.
Cool.
Sweet. So that's excellent. We have a winner. Yeah, there's a hotel under the there's a parking garage under the hotel. I used to work there. Yep. I used to work in that parking garage.
Ooh.
When you come up and you see the booth and you take your little ticket, that's where I sat for years. Yeah. It seems like decades. But back when it was the Holiday Inn.
Yep.
It's around in the back. You go in through the front and it sort of takes you right around the hotel. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that job. Hey, it paid me.
Mm-hmm.
Mac OS X is. Do we have somebody in the line?
Yeah.
Oh, we do. Well, let's do that instead. Our next caller is David. David, where are you calling from?
Brighton.
Brighton. Okay, what's up?
Thank you guys for being there.
Thank you.
And do you have any recommendations for photo sorting software? It seems like you can kind of get them in the order you want. If you use Picasa, you can shift them around, but then if you go to write a disk using a piece of software, resort them by name or by date.
Yeah, we had a similar question last week. Yeah. There is no way to change that. That is totally controllable by the user when they choose the view menu options when they're viewing a folder.
Right. The reality is that the software that you're using keeps track internally, but when it's out on the disk, it's the operating system that deals with the order of the pictures. And unless you rename every picture, they won't, having them on that disk is not going to do it.
That's the way to force.
If you rename them, I'm looking at a trial of Collector Z that if you rename them, it kind of loses the tags that you had. So
Right. First you rename them, then you tag them.
Yeah.
Because Picasa remembers the tags. Any of these programs remembers the tags by the file name.
And what's interesting is it actually sorts the names alphabetically.
Right.
Even if you put numbers in, it sorts them alphabetical by number, which is weird. So what you want to do is you want to name them 01, 02, 03, or if you think you're going to have more than 100 photos, do 001. So the leading zeros will help sort them together. Otherwise, you get all the ones together. So the ones,
right,
the tens, and the hundreds are together. Then you get number two.
And the 20s and the 200s,
yeah.
Yeah, and if you use the file rename, it goes in parentheses, and then it sorts that instead of numeric order.
Right.
So. Yep.
So
yeah,
there's no really equivalent to a light box where you can move things around.
Well, yeah, there is, but as soon as you burn them to a disk and someone views that disk on the desktop, they have control over the sort order of that disk, and there's nothing you can do at your
light
end.
Lightbox works the same way as Picasa and everything else. It remembers the file name, remembers the order you wanted inside the program, and remembers the tags based on the file name.
Okay.
So if you change the file name, or you manipulate those files outside the Lightbox, you have the same result.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, that's,
There needs to be another choice in the view menu. Leave it the way I left them, darn it.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice. All right, now on to the next news item. Mac OS X is viewed by many as the most secure operating system in the market. It's certainly considered far more secure than Windows, Microsoft's Windows operating system. But a report hitting the wire on Wednesday claiming Apple's new Mac OS X release, Snow Leopard, will feature a malware detection tool had some of those beliefs coming into question. According to reports, Mac OS X will feature an application that will scan the user's Mac for known Trojans. It will also flag malicious files if they are downloaded from Safari, iChat, Entourage, and a few other applications. There's just one catch. That feature will only look for two Trojans. Every other possible damaging Trojan will not be scanned for. So while the feature probably won't keep too many users safe if they're affected by anything other than those two Trojans, it's the fact that Apple felt compelled to build it into Mac OS X that should receive more attention. After all, this is a company that created the mindset that the Mac OS X is secure enough that users won't need to worry about all those malicious files they find on Windows. Mac OS X has faced far fewer security issues than Windows PCs. That's a simple fact. But perhaps the reason isn't so simple. Apple, in many of its I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ads, makes a point to highlight the security issues Windows suffers from. In fact, it's become a key component in their marketing strategy. But whether or not Mac OS X is truly more secure than Windows is up for debate. Security is a financial game. The more users, the greater the opportunity for malicious hackers to turn those affected individuals into cash. That's precisely why Windows, thanks to its dominating market share, is pelted with malware every day. Malicious hackers know that as long as they can target millions, they will find thousands that will succumb to their ploys. That pool is much smaller on Mac OS X. Apple's operating system is woefully behind Microsoft in the OS market share, and the chances of that changing anytime soon are slight. Realizing that, most hackers have realized that there's more to gain by targeting Windows than targeting Mac OS X users. More people equals more money. Mac OS X security is becoming a hot button these days because Mac people have something Windows people don't. Arrogance. Apple has fostered a mentality that OS X users don't have to worry about security, and that's just what malware distributors want them to think. Case in point. Here's a statement on Apple's Snow Leopard page. Since no system can be 100% immune from every threat, antivirus software may offer additional protection. That may is at best disingenuous and at worst perpetuating the myth. Why can't Apple just admit that antivirus software is good for everybody and will help protect your system? Oh, that's right, because it only looks for two Trojans.
Because then they'd be in a position to have to tell you which one to use. You remember a couple of months ago they updated their list of antivirus software available for the Mac, and it was a huge news story? But Apple's telling us we should buy an antivirus. Yeah, absolutely.
You should.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right, here's the important thing, though. I know that there's Mac people out there who are just steaming right now.
No.
Give us a call and tell me I'm wrong. I dare you. 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or if you're outside the 585 area code, it's 1-800-790-0415. Of course, along with that is the fact that Snow Leopard began to be delivered yesterday. Apple had OS X Leopard. Now they have Snow Leopard. I believe the next version will be Def Leopard. And then after that, probably Leopard Skinner and Leopard Skin Airplane. I don't know what comes next. I don't have any idea.
Leopard Skin.
Lion and Ocelot are the only cats left in Family Pantheris that they've been using.
Right. So maybe that'll be it. Yeah. The lion sleeps tonight. Mama way. Sorry. but give us a call. Tell us we're wrong. I dare you. An operating system is an operating system, and I don't care which one you're on. The reality is they're all vulnerable. So far, the market share for Apple is so small that they're not worth the time and effort it takes to get at them. That doesn't make them secure. It just makes them kind of unnoticeable so far. All right, here's
and
our
one,
next.
Well, I say one of the things that has happened with the release of Snow Leopard yesterday is that there's a bunch of fake ads bouncing around the internet now,
right,
where you can register to win or download to win a free copy of Snow Leopard. Well, the retail cost is only $29 anyway, as an upgrade from the existing Leopard.
Yeah.
But a lot of these ads for this was a news story.
That's all right.
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. That's
I'm,
all right.
I haven't
go
got
ahead.
Down to that in your news story.
That's all right.
With these ads, you click on the thing to register to win or do whatever you want to get your free copy. Several of them have the Mac Trojans in them.
Right.
So you think you're downloading, or a copy of Snow Leopard, or you're trying to enter the contest, you're actually getting a Trojan.
And one of those is a domain name configuration changer. What that means is you type in a domain name like Google.com or something, and or your bank or PayPal or something else, and it actually takes you to another place. And because it's actually changed the number in the background, you can't tell from your desktop. This is very, very, very dangerous.
Your browser says PayPal.com, and you're not really there.
Right. Yep. And there's no way you can tell from your system because it's been changed way, way under the hood. So really, if you're a Mac user and you've downloaded one of these free whatevers, and that's not the only way you can get this, by the way.
Yeah, they're coming. The original vector was in a fake QuickTime update, and then it got loaded into a fake Flash update, and that got passed around. You want to see naked pictures of insert celebrity here.
Right.
And you get the Trojan. Yeah. Under Leopard and Snow Leopard, there is a way to see if you've been hijacked relatively easily. Under Tiger, it's a little trickier. You have to go to the command line. But in Leopard and Snow Leopard, if you go to System Preferences and Network, and then pick your network connection, Ethernet or Airport, whatever, and look at your DNS server entries. And now here becomes a little, you have to do this ahead of time. You have to know what your DNS servers are supposed to be. And if the right numbers are there, then you're not infected. And if the wrong numbers are there, you are.
So what you want to do is, if you don't know what your numbers are, call your internet service provider, whether that's a cable modem company or a DSL modem company, whoever. Give them a call and get the numbers. If you're pretty sure you're not infected, go look right now, but definitely call them and get the right numbers. Once you know what those are, write them down on a Post-it, because they're not secret information, and keep it next to your computer, and every once in a while, go take a look.
Take a look. And we've posted links, when the Trojan stories first broke a few months ago, we posted links on our link list for the free Trojan removal tools for the Mac.
Right. All right, our next caller is Keith. Keith, where are you calling from?
I'm sitting in a parking lot right now, guys.
All right, where is that parking lot?
In Farmington.
All right. What's up?
I'm sure. First off, I'm glad I found you.
You're at the Wade Supermarket. My little GPS just popped up.
Farmington parking lot? Well, sorry. Next guess would have been Racino. Other than that, that's it.
You see, those are the only two parking lots in Farmington, so you had to be in one of them,
one or the other.
Could you pick me up some milk while you're there?
Get a quarter bread and a loaf of milk.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So what's up, Keith?
I got a question. I got a son-in-law. The only time I hear from him is when he's got computer problems, and he had one today, which I got him through. Find out he's still using Internet Explorer. So I said, you got to go to Firefox and download Firefox. Use that browser. It's a lot better than Internet Explorer. So he downloaded it. He goes to install it, and it wouldn't install. He kept getting a message saying it won't work. And so we went to the system requirements, and it listed the operating system requirement. And he bought this computer from a friend. And
what operating system does he have?
He's got Windows Vista Professional. Firefox work under Professional?
Yes.
Yeah, it should. It works on one of my machines at work. Yeah.
It did on mine until I switched my system over to Windows 7.
Right. So, yes, it works, unless he doesn't have enough RAM.
No, he checked that. We went to a system where it lists all the requirements, and, I mean, the RAM is only 8.
What I would suggest is download and install Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware. Run those two. There might be something else blocking it because it's trying to protect Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Let me suggest it has so many holes in Swiss cheese.
Right.
Let me suggest you dance the entire Security Tango. If you go to securitytango.com.
We did that this morning.
And?
Well, he called me because he kept getting this incessant pop-up. I said, you got to run SpyBot, you got to run the Adware, then you got to run your virus. And I said, I got to get off the phone, I got a light.
All right. So, he should dance the entire Security Tango following every step. If you skip one, that's bad. So definitely have him do that and then try reinstalling. Go to getfirefox.com and download it, and you're on your way.
All right. So in other words, his computer can do it. It's just that he's got another issue that's blocking.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, Firefox 3.5, the current version, will go back to Windows 2000 or Mac OS 10.4. You can go to version 3.0, which goes back one more version on each OS. But they took off Firefox 2, which is no longer supported if you have a really old OS, you know, Mac 10.3 or Windows 98.
Right. All right, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That hopefully will help.
Yep. All right. Our next caller is Tony. Tony, you there? Where are you calling from, Tony?
Oops.
He's not calling from anywhere.
Yeah, give me a minute. Hang on a minute. Oh. Yeah, Dave's got too many buttons to push.
Dave's got a bunch of buttons to push. It's not like the old days when one button actually hung up the previous caller and pulled in the next caller. Dave's got about 10 different buttons to push. Tony, are you there?
Oh, try again with another button.
Dave's going to keep pushing buttons. It's
If you look at the show cam, you'll see him radically jumping back and forth.
We lost Tony, so if he would call back, I'll try the next caller. I don't know the name, but we'll jump him on.
All right. Are you there?
No, you got to give me a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was very confused. This, God bless the folks here at Jazz 90.1. They've put us on the air. We are the very first talk show they've ever had, and we need somebody to give us about $100,000 to upgrade the phone system.
There we go. Let's try this caller.
All right. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
What's your name?
Hi, guys.
Wait, what's your name?
Tony.
Okay. Oh, you are Tony. Where are you calling from, Tony?
Rochester.
Okie doke.
I have a question about Mozilla's email program, and I'm having a senior moment, and I can't remember the name of it.
Thunderbird,
okay. I think they've changed something on it. When I sent an email in the past, I was able to go in and retrieve that email so I could look at it again. And now I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, it should be in your sent folder.
Sent? Yeah, I can't find the sent folder.
Well, one of the things in Thunderbird, and I don't have it loaded up here, but one of the things in Thunderbird is for each account, you can say yes or no to save a copy in sent mail. Okay. So it may be that somehow that got changed.
And how would I go in and...
I believe it's under the edit menu under account settings. And if you've only got one account, there'll only be one account there. But if you've got multiple accounts, you set it individually in each one.
Okay.
And you
great.
See the other folders there, the inbox, the outbox, your trash folder, or are none of the folders showing?
That's right.
Oh, then you may have just turned off.
Which is right?
I don't see any of those.
You may have turned off the folder bar.
Now that's possible. Now, do you see the inbox folder?
Well, actually, I'm not at it right now.
All right. In that case, hold on just a minute there, Tony. We got to take a break, but we'll be back. You stay on the line, and we'll come back with you as soon as we're done. We're the longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, Steve Ray. We'll be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Here's another I Love New York travel tip.
With a wide range of habitats, designated migratory corridors, and a wealth of lands and facilities accessible to the public, New York State is one of the nation's premier destinations for wildlife viewing. Finding the wildlife you want to see and where to see it is easier than ever. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, in cooperation with I Love New York, has developed a new website to find wildlife viewing areas. Search by animal or by location. Whether it's a trip to see hundreds of migrating birds or a short drive down the road to a beaver pond, there is something to fit every schedule and every level of interest. For more information, visit the I Love New York website at iloveny.com. our watchable wildlife. Another reason I love New York.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And with us on the phone, you're listening to Sound Bites. With us on the phone, we still have Tony.
Yes.
All right, Tony, here's the deal. On the mail, the window for Thunderbird, you see all the mail listed, and on the left, you should see a list of your folders.
Including the inbox and the sent box and the trash.
Right. So and if you don't see that...
If you don't see any of them...
Right, then you've probably closed that somehow. And under the view menu, you should be able to open those back up again.
I don't see it under the view menu. You can drag the little slider bar to change the length of the or the width of the of each column. So you can drag that column all the way closed, and then you don't see any folders. Or you drag it to the right, and you can see your folders.
Okay.
If it's just the sent folder missing and the other folders are still there, then that would be in your...
I'm wondering, you know how sometimes when you go to set it up, you're setting up the account, and it defaults to the generic account. And quite often you'll see just their name, the username up at the front top folder there, but then there's a plus sign underneath the next group of folders.
Yeah, there's a disclosure triangle. So if you see something called local folders, there's a little disclosure triangle next to that that opens up and shows you your inbox and sent box and drafts folder.
Okay.
Or a little or could be a little plus and or minus sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could I ask another question, please?
Sure.
I seem to have lost my sound icon on my taskbar. It used to go in and out. In other words, one day it would be there, another day it would be missing, and at this point I've turned it on several times, and it has been missing, and I forgot where it was.
Into the control panel.
Yep. and it's checked to show the icon.
What service pack do you have on that machine?
I don't know. I just let it download whatever it wants to.
Well, you got to go in and make sure. If you go into that control panel and go into system, that very first panel will tell you what service pack you're on. Now, if you're running Windows XP, you should be up to service pack 3.
Generally speaking, if the icon disappears and you have no sound, it's...
I have sound, but the icon's gone, and I have to adjust it by adjusting the speaker.
Are you sure it's not just hidden? There's too many icons there to display?
I don't know.
Well, here's the deal. In that little set of icons, the far left one of those little set of icons is sometimes a circle with a left-pointing little arrow, a less than sign.
Yes.
If you click that, it shoots out, and you see a whole bunch more icons that are hidden.
Or you can go to your start menu properties and tell it not to hide those icons.
Right. Well, the first thing to do is see if it is hidden there. And then you go to start, right-click on the start menu, select properties from the drop-down list, and then somewhere in that section is a thing that says don't hide these icons.
Right. Oh, okay.
Okay. Okey-doke.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tony. That's that's one of those little hidden secret things about Windows. There are so many tiny little tricks that people just generally don't know.
And a lot of that was designed for smaller monitors where you didn't have much screen space, so it hides the inactive icons.
Right.
It groups your windows together under one button. But now that we all have 40-inch monitors, my 50-inch laptop.
Your 50-inch laptop. What are you doing the other 10? I don't want to know. Let's go on to our next caller, who is Mike. Mike, where are you calling from?
Calling from Newstead over in Erie County.
Wow.
Woo. Unfortunately, I can't listen to you on the radio anymore, but I do get the podcast every week.
See, that's what counts. We're also live streaming.
I haven't had an opportunity to try that yet, but I will.
All right, excellent. Sweet. So what's your question, Mike?
Question is regarding what do you think about these new computers coming out? They're a cross between the netbook and notebook. They've got that Intel, I believe it's a solo chip, like an SU2500. They have an HDMI out, like a 12.1-inch screen, and they still don't have like a DVD drive.
Right.
But they're more powerful than the actual netbooks, but not quite as much of a notebook.
I guess it depends on what you're going to do with them.
Well, I want to do general internet stuff, but I want to be able to do, like, watching Hulu.com and high def.
I do that on my netbook.
Like,
I have
that, and they do have the HDMI out on them, so they are considered, I guess, high def. The screens are, like, 1280 by 800 resolution.
Right.
Yeah, that's the lower high def. That's very low high def. By definition, it's high def, yeah. Right.
But it really depends on what it is you intend to do with them. If, for my money, they're kind of a between kind of thing. If you're gonna do really high-end stuff, you should have a good high-end notebook or a desktop.
Right.
If you want to just do a few things while you're out and about, a netbook is perfect. These
in between battery life, they're claiming up to 8 hours, but I mean, I'd be happy with 6 hours battery life.
Right.
And it's very light and portable. They're still under like 3 pounds.
Right. There's nothing wrong with them. You just have to be aware that they're not going to be as good as a high-end laptop or a desktop.
You got to accept their limitations.
Right. It's okay. it's like buying a car. You know,
right.
You can buy a $20,000 car and it'll be perfectly suitable,
and the first
but you're
time,
not going to take it to a racetrack.
And the first time you go off-road and get stuck, don't be mad.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. So there's nothing wrong with them. They're nice
and
little products, but you have to accept them for what they are.
And we see that a lot with people who ask us, you know, what kind of computer should I get, or what you know, basically, which means what price range should I get.
Yeah.
And all I want to do is a little bit of word processing, some internet surfing, and play some games.
Right.
Well, you just added a comma.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely true, because games aren't cheap hardware
wise,
anymore,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Go for it.
My son has a netbook, or a notebook, sorry, and he wants to know, is there anything like GarageBand for a Mac for a PC?
Adobe
GarageBand does.
Yeah, GarageBand is an audio recording program. Comes with loops built in, so you can assemble loops together, or you can actually play instruments into it.
Right, but it's only on a Mac.
Right, something like Adobe Audition or Adobe Premiere. I think Audition is recording and Premiere is editing.
Okay.
Cakewalk makes a bunch of Windows audio editing programs. I'm not familiar with them enough to know if
Cakewalk
they're as easy.
Cakewalk is high end.
Well, one of the things that GarageBand is really cool is it has several thousand loops, and so you just throw in a drum loop and a guitar loop and a piano loop, and you have a song.
Right.
So for people that don't actually have any music, I've heard of programs called Band in a Box.
Okay.
And that's sort of on the similar way with the built-in loops.
Okay, I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also a program called Mixcraft, which is very similar and certainly like the simplicity of GarageBand. It's called Mixcraft, all one word.
That's sort of one of the rebuttals that the Mac community has about the Windows laptop hunter ads. Yeah, you can buy the computer cheaper, and then you got to put in $100 for Premiere. You got to put in $100 for Audition. You got to put in $100 for Photoshop Elements.
Well, assuming you want to do those things,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that all comes. It's one of those hidden benefits of the Mac is that software all comes built in for you.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Bob. Bob, where are you calling from?
Henrietta.
Henrietta, New York. What's up?
A suggestion for the caller earlier with the older laptop with the network card problem.
Jack.
That's old enough, it might not be using an AutoSense NIC. He might be trying to use a crossover cable.
Could be.
Or it could that's be, true.
It could be 10 base T only, and it's not sensing a 100 base T hub.
Well, I think he did say, though, it was working, but then all of a sudden.
Well, the wireless works, but the wired doesn't.
The wired apparently never worked.
Oh,
yeah, Windows sees the adapter, but if they get a network cable unplugged, if it's an older one, too old for the network card to be auto-sensing.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
That's very possible. So Jack, if you're still listening, and why wouldn't you be?
He definitely is.
Definitely is. What you want to do is go to the store and get a cable, another Ethernet cable, that is definitely not a crossover cable.
Yeah, he said he tried other cables, but on a newer computer, they're auto-sensing.
No, but he said he tried different computers at that cable.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
So if
they're all newer and they auto-sense, you're absolutely right, Bob. This is why
One other thing, the other one, you were talking about the DNS poisoning. If you open a command DOS prompt in Windows or even a terminal window on a Mac, do NSLOOKUP space yahoo.com, for example, it will show you what name server is responding to your request.
Right.
That way you don't have to look into the configuration tools.
Yep.
Right. Except that again, unless you know what domain name servers you should be looking at,
be answering the question.
Right.
But.
Right. Yep. And that's the easiest for most people. It's easiest to do it from the graphical user interface. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thanks.
That's excellent.
I actually had a similar problem on my laptop a while ago. where the Ethernet quit working. Back at the old studio, I couldn't get any internet. I finally realized that at a client's, I set my computer to gigabit only to test their network. So then when I plugged into a 100 meg line, it just didn't work. So I had to set my Ethernet card back to auto-sensing.
There you go.
Yep. Yep.
All right, our next caller is John. John, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John. I'm from Webster.
Webster, what's up?
Okay, I got a question. I got a laptop that's running XP Professional.
Yep.
And it has 160 gigabyte hard drive with it. And it was down to about 50 gigabyte free space left. And I ran a defrag a couple weeks ago. And all of a sudden, I went from about the 50 down to about 33.
Yep.
I mean, when I did the defrag, I mean, I had less space after the defrag than I had before the defrag. And so I had a bunch of pictures on it. I took all the pictures up. I went back up to about 40. And then it, a day or so later, it dropped back down to 33 again.
Because what happens with Windows is, see, Windows decides how much of a swap file it's going to take for you. So the more the percentage that you clear up, it's going to grab that much more for a swap file.
There are programs. There's one for the Mac called WhatSize. I'm trying to find one for Windows. Disktective sounds good. It could be just something taking up a lot of space, a log file, a swap file. And as Dave said, the more free space you have, the more space Windows will take.
Because it's a calculation that Microsoft does, and they determine, you used to back in the day,
set a maximum.
Yeah, you could set your own limits of whether you want.
You
to
still can, but it's harder now.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't recommend it for most folks.
So there's this tool called Disktective. There's probably other ones too that will scan your entire hard drive and calculate the sizes of all your folders and tell you where your space is being used. And you may find that there's a folder taking 20 gigs of space that you didn't know about.
Let me suggest two other things that you do. One is you should empty out your temp directory.
I can take everything out of there, right?
Yeah, well, almost everything. Some of the folders won't disappear.
Okay.
If it says can't do it, just say, okay, skip it.
Okay.
The other thing I would suggest you do definitely is I would dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com. Because if you have been caught by something, it could be that your system is loaded up with a bunch of files you really don't want.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask another question. I have two backup drives.
Well, hold on. Don't dismiss that.
Yeah.
John,
yeah.
You definitely want to run that, and if it tells you you've got viruses, you clean them out, and then you start looking around to see if you've got any folders that you don't know what's in them.
Okay.
And dump that stuff.
Okay.
And there's also the Microsoft Disk Cleanup utility that will scan for temp files and things like that as well.
Okay, what's your other question?
Well, the other question is I have two backup files, or two backup hard drives I use all the time. I back up everything like you suggest.
Good.
And I notice they're both Seagates, and one of them has a light on. And I notice every once in a while that light keeps flashing. Is it possible they could be dumping things back on again after I take them off?
Well, again, it depends on what do you use for your backup software.
Well, the software that came with they're the Seagate.
And does it run in the background all the time?
Right.
Then it may well be doing legitimate backups.
Checking.
But that's another reason to say make sure that those that you don't have any viruses. Because if you've got attached drives, it may be putting things on those drives as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that's a good tip then.
Okay. Yep.
Yep, thanks very much then.
Thanks.
Tell you what.
Uh-oh, it's that time again.
Yeah, let's do it one more time.
Let's do it.
Before we get to the news. Tell you what, if you're the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, you could win some tickets. These are the last tickets, folks. I mean, after today, there aren't any more. We're not going to be giving away any more. So pick up the phone, be the 10th caller at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415 to get your tickets to the greatest birthday party this year.
Now, that party is next Saturday, September 5th, from 11 to 3 at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester, Riverside. We'll be there, and from noon to 2, we'll be live on the air, so you can come and get your questions answered right there. There's going to be a cash bar and munchies and all kinds of other cool stuff, so you need to show up. If you win your tickets today, you can only get them by picking them up at the party itself. Do not come down to this studio. They will not be here, and you're just going to annoy the people here and yourself because you've had a wasted trip.
And we have a winner already.
And we already have a winner. Excellent.
Yep. Sweet.
All right. Don't despair. We have more tickets to give away later in the show, so don't get excited just yet.
Right. Well, you should always be excited that we're on the air.
Right, but don't get badly excited. Right, right. Aww. But they're all excited that we're on the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's we're just going to – I can't wait. This is going to be way fun. This is just going to be way fun. We've got – of course, you know, the way this works is, you know, I don't have any – pressure anywhere, nor do you or nor does Dave, because we've already got our tickets. We're kind of going to be there or else, right? I mean, that's how that works. But I can't wait. It's going to be just a fun party. The folks here at Jazz 90.1, God bless them. They've worked hard to make this possible. You know, we've only been on this station, what, a month and a half?
Since June 6th.
Yeah, and so they immediately said, yeah, absolutely, 20th anniversary, let's have a party. God love them. They're great people.
Man, they just jumped on it, and away they went.
Of course, you have to be aware that the guy who is the manager of this station is Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen. He's the guy who's the manager of the station. As you know, he used to be our producer. He may actually be listening, so I won't say board op because he'll hurt me.
I am the board op.
Yeah, you're the board op. He was the producer.
you know that's going to be one good thing next week.
Yeah, that's right.
I get the week off.
I don't know how that works, and honestly, I don't care. Somebody's going to handle all of that over here. Somebody's going
to
handle it all over there, and
so
that's all we care about.
Well,
the funny thing now is that Rob has turned into Jeff. He sits at home and listens to the show, calls in when we do wrong.
Oh, he is going to hate you.
Well, actually, I was also going to say that 2 weeks after our birthday party, Jazz 90.1 is having a wine and cheese party.
That's right.
In sponsorship with the Memorial Art Gallery. So it's check out the jazz90.1.org website. And
I personally intend to be there for that as well. It sounds like it's going to be a great, great time. So and the tickets for that are available at the station as well. Go to Jazz 90.1 and see what's going on there. That's going to be another interesting thing. I love the mag anyway. Yeah, yeah, I love the mag.
This is going to be huge. I mean, I am so psyched about this.
Oh, me too.
And we have one surprise for Rob, of course.
Of course we do. But we're not going to tell him about
it. No.
Is that him calling in?
That's what makes it. All right. That music tells me that we are going to take another quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and me, Nick Francesco. You are listening at 59 minutes after the hour to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned, because we'll be back. But see, I should have quit while I was ahead, and I didn't, and I'm done.
We still have quite a few tickets that we're going to still give away, so you don't want to miss out. I can tell you at least two, maybe even three more times to get your tickets here. So, you know, don't give up and stay tuned, folks.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Frank Capp is my guest today, and he's one of the busiest music contractors in Los Angeles. I wondered how he got into it, so I asked.
I followed Shelly Mann around L.A. I took his gig with Kenton, then I took his gig, because he left it, naturally, and I took his gig with Andre Previn. Andre Previn, Red Mitchell, and I were the Andre Previn Trio. We made about 20 albums at that time. Well, when that job started to wane, because of Andre, he heard that the Warner Brothers Orchestra, they were looking for a drummer. And at that time, 57, 58, around that time, they had contract orchestras in all the studios, every studio, Warner's, Universal, Fox, every major studio had, quote, contract orchestras. What that meant is you got paid whether you worked or not.
Wow.
And I remember the last year of my being there, I would maybe work, I'd go into the studio for like 1 or 2 days a month to do a cartoon or a movie or something, like Sayonara, I did that movie. But anyway, the point is all of that movie work was up for grabs when the contract with the studios expired. So the union called a strike, and from that point on, there were no contract orchestras. All the studios became freelance. When I was under contract at Warner's, I couldn't work any other studio. And if I happened to have a record date on a specific day that they wanted me at the studio, I had to be at the studio.
And it's a good thing for us they didn't keep him too long, because he went on to record some 10 discs with the Juggernaut Big Band. We'll tell you more on our website, sittininjazz.com. I'm Helen Borgers.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. We're realizing the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, their health. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
New artist Brooke White talking about radio.
We spent a lot of time particularly listening to the oldies radio station. I grew up really listening to the 60s and 70s and kind of growing this fondness for old music. There's something comforting about listening to the radio and having a DJ.
Radio, radio. Tell me what I wanna know, wanna know.
The place to connect with new audiences every day. Radio. Visit RadioHeardHere.com.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Oh, the other thing that I thought of that John should do about his hard drive space disappearing,
mm-hmm.
He should probably also empty his trash.
A lot of folks forget
especially,
to do that.
Yeah, especially yeah. If you... Well, he said he did stuff and got more space for you, so he might have. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to fill your trash up and forget to empty it.
Yep, that'll do it.
All right, our next caller is Fritz. Welcome, Fritz. What's your question? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canandaigua.
Ah, lovely Canandaigua, New York.
I have a couple of things, Nick. For Steve's benefit, I just put Snow Leopard on an iMac and picked up 20 gig.
Well, wow. There's two issues there. One is Snow Leopard does take up less space on your hard drive. They say about 7 gigabytes of less space because it's removing all the PowerPC code. The other thing they did really annoys all us technology people. They changed the disk calculation from base 2 to base 10.
No, no, no.
Yes.
Oh, that's low class.
Because they got hundreds, probably thousands or tens of thousands of support calls. Wondering why my 500-gig hard drive only reports as being 468 gigs. Because you divide by 1024 in a computer. Mm-hmm. So part of that space you got back was just the way they changed how they count. So now they're counting by 1,000 instead of counting by 1024. But, yeah, it does look like you get a lot of extra space back, but only 7 gigs of it. Well, 7
really?
Gigs base 2 or 7 gigs base 10.
Well, the MacBook was 7 gigs that I gained on that.
Yeah.
7 gigabytes.
The iMac showed 20.
Yeah, it's the difference between gigabytes and gigabytes.
Right.
And which no one knows anyway, and the marketing people are trying to push base 10. So your 500-gig hard drive is 500 billion bytes, usually a little more than that. But when you divide by 1024 enough times, it looks like it comes out smaller. And the larger hard drives are getting, the more it hurts, basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
a terabyte hard drive formats out to 981, so it looks like you're losing 20 gigabytes. No, it's a trillion bytes. You're just divided by 1024.
Right.
Well, mine showed a gain. I went from 177 to 197.
Right, because they're counting differently. They're calculating.
It's a Mac. It counts differently.
Well, they're dividing by 1,000, so there's an artificial inflation in how much space is on your computer.
Well, you know how Macs always have to put the decimal points, you know, dot this, dot that.
You're right, sure.
Left elbow, dot.
Right.
Yeah, my free space increased by about 10 gigabytes on the display. Because of the way they changed the calculation.
So how do you like Snow Leopard?
Well, I've only been on it about 10 minutes before you guys came on, so I wanted to listen to you.
But thank you.
And I have another thing. On the Windows side, my wife has an XP machine, Service Pack 3, mm-hmm. and I just found out the other day that if you go to start, run, and type in MRT, it runs the malicious software removal tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it took about an hour and a half to run, and we found, you know, it came up clean, but I never saw any publicity on that.
Because it doesn't do that great of a job.
It checks for specific...
Yeah. Well, it made me nervous when it said nothing, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it already ran, basically. It's kind of like Stinger, which only looks for certain viruses. Yeah. The Microsoft Malicious Software Removal Tool only looks for certain malicious software. And every monthly update, one of the things that it updates is that MSRT definition file, and it runs it then.
Oh, okay.
But I would still run, though, malware bytes and superhero.
Oh,
yeah,
I got all the Tango stuff on. And
good.
Yep.
Because that's better for you. It's like the new program that's coming with the Mac. It doesn't look for everything. It only looks for a couple of specific things.
You know one thing? I'm going to ask Fritz here to do us a favor.
Fritz, are you listening?
Yes, I am.
The rest of our listeners, they got to get the word out. Soundbites has moved over to Jazz 90.1. So tell your friends.
Tell your enemies.
I'm still getting a lot of folks coming up to me.
What happened to you guys? I loved you on the radio. You're gone.
When are you coming back on? We are back on.
Two stations ago, still.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There is that as well.
Lord.
Do it for
me. Hey, Nick, did you know that in the new Snow Leopard, if you put it on a laptop, it has Upsidazium in it? So your laptop hovers to whatever height you're working at.
I love Upsidazium. Excellent.
Do you remember where that was from?
I remember it, and I'm trying to remember what it's from.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I was just going to say that.
And Hushaboom was from that, too.
That's exactly right. I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle. It was my favorite.
Well, thanks a lot, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Rocky. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Speaking of Snow Leopard again, there's another malware warning that has come out from the company that makes Foxit, which is apparently called Foxit. The Foxit Corporation.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Their Foxit Reader, which is a PDF reader for Windows and Linux, as an alternative to the Adobe Reader, there is a fake version of Foxit for Mac running around the Internet that contains the Mac DNS Trojan malware. So do not download Foxit for Mac. It does not exist. It is a Trojan. And as Nick is pointing out, the Mac is getting to be more and more popular, so there's more and more attacks at it.
Yep. Good news and bad news.
Yep.
Tell you what.
Dun, 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 dun.
We are in a giving mood. Tell you what, if you're the 10th caller, that's the 10th caller. Pick up the phone, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, and you could win some of the last few tickets left for the Soundbites birthday
party. It's a dwindling pile over there.
Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners who have won the past 30 days. Remember, you're not eligible. Sorry. But if you want a complete listing of the rules, you can write Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane. That's Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phone, be the 10th caller, and you could be one of the lucky few to still be able to make it to the Soundbites birthday party.
And that party is next Saturday, September 5th, at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester, Riverside. The party's from 11 to 3. We will be there for the whole thing, but we will be on the air live from noon to 2. So you can come and get on the air live and ask your questions and chit-chat together. It's going to be way fun. There's going to be munchies. There's going to be a cash bar. There's going to be a birthday cake. There's going to be all kinds of nifty
giveaways.
Neat stuff. And here's the best part. We, as the Soundbites family, are all going to be together.
All gone.
We have a wiener. So we're very excited. Thank you. Congratulations to whoever this latest winner is. Don't worry. There's going to be at least one more giveaway, maybe more than one, but we'll see. And if you won the tickets today, the only way you can get them is to pick them up at the party. Pick them up at the party. If you won last week or this week, the only way you get them is to pick them up at the party. Don't come down to the station. They're not here. We can't give them to you, and you've wasted a trip. And in these days, why waste gas?
Yeah, really.
Exactly. So we're delighted. Thank you all. We have more to give away.
Yep.
So stay tuned. This is not over yet. It ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, not until, you know, you hear our farewell music, you know.
That's right.
We'll, yep.
All right. For those of you who are looking to go to Windows 7, a special Windows 7 upgrade package for households with more than one PC is now available for pre-order online ahead of schedule and at a discount from Microsoft's previously announced price. Windows 7 Family Pack, which offers the ability to upgrade from an existing version of Windows to Windows 7 on three PCs for a discounted price, is available for pre-order on several online retailer websites for anywhere from $140 to $145. Microsoft previously said the limited time offer, which is available until supplies last, would be available for pre-order for $149.99 on October 18th, and then generally available on October 22nd, which is the official worldwide release date of Windows 7. Oh, the Family Pack allows users to install Windows 7 Home Premium for a reduced price on up to three PCs in a household that already have a version of Windows installed. Microsoft originally said the Family Pack would only be available in North America, but our listeners in UK, Ireland, Germany, France, Switzerland, Austria, the Netherlands, and Sweden can also get this release. And we do have listeners in those countries,
yep,
by the way. Previously, Microsoft said it would offer a Windows 7 E version that came without Internet Explorer 8, but now instead, apparently when you first get it, it will have IE 8 on it, but you will have a ballot screen that allows them to choose to install a competing browser if they like.
So they're offering it only from the 18th to the 22nd?
It seems, no. It was supposed to be available for pre-order on October 18th. Mm-hmm. And available for general purchase on the 22nd, which is the October 22nd, right, which is the date Windows was going to be available. But it is available today. I actually saw it listed on a couple of websites.
Maybe we should post a couple of those links for folks. Yeah.
Well, they're the standard ones, you know, pretty much everybody. So you'd be able to get them now. I don't know why they're making it an early release. You don't get it now. You get it when it becomes available, but you can pre-order at a slight discount.
Why they're doing it is because Apple's Snow Leopard Family Pack is a 5-user license for $50, $10 a user,
right,
instead of $50 a user for Microsoft's.
Right. Or for Linux, it's free.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Okay. we have a caller, Marshall.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I can't read Dave's handwriting, and it's entirely.
Well, you can just call me Dorothea.
I'll call you Dorothea. All right.
I have a request for a song. I love your station, by the way, 90.1. I think it's just great.
Great. Where are you calling from?
Rochester, New York.
The lovely Rochester, New York. Yes, ma'am. What can we do for you?
I wanted to hear Whitney Marshall sing Panonica because she's one of the few singers I hear that sings Monk.
Well, we'll have to pass it on because this is a computer talk show right now.
Yeah, the music starts when we're done.
Oh, well, what does?
Yeah, the German Hour. German Hour
is next, and then I'm not sure what's on after them. But we will certainly. I'm gonna write that down. It's Whitney Marshall singing what?
Marshall, Marchelle,
right,
singing Panonica by Thelonious Monk.
Right. I love.
And I do have a computer question.
Oh, sure. Excellent.
Yep.
We'll pass that on.
Whitney Marshall has a MySpace page
that
that I can't get to because it's blocked here at the radio station.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. We'll definitely pass that on. I love Panonica. I love Thelonious Monk. So that'll be nice. What's your computer question?
Okay, my computer, it keeps peeling like when it goes, when I X out of it, it kind of like peels, the page like peels.
Closes really, really slow?
Yeah, exactly.
There may be something else running in the background eating your
Windows
processors.
Is it Windows or Mac?
This is Windows, and I don't, you know, I don't have Norton on. It keeps telling me, why don't I get Norton? Why don't I get Norton? And I had Norton at one time, and I don't have Norton anymore.
Did you uninstall it?
It sounds like it expired. It's asking you to renew. Yeah.
Yeah. See, what you've got to do there is you've got to literally uninstall that program. If you get a program.
The backstory, what we think, is that you're probably infected with some sort of a virus because your Norton expired. And that virus is taking up so much of your computer's power that it can't do what you want it to do. And so that's why the things are running really slow.
Yep. I deleted the cookies and all
no,
that stuff.
No, I won't do it.
No, what you need to do, Dorothea, is you need to go to securitytango.com.
That's writing this down.
Okay, securitytango.com. Of course, that's all one word on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And on the left, you'll see a series of buttons. Click on the Let's Dance button. And you're using Windows, so select Windows Waltz.
Windows Waltz?
Waltz. Yeah, it's the Windows Waltz, the Linux Lambada, and the Mac Garena.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
That's a good one. Oh, that was very creative.
Once you get to the Windows Waltz, print out that page, and then follow it step by step.
Okay.
Don't skip any steps. And that should hopefully clean out your machine. In addition, you should, as Dave said, uninstall the Norton antivirus because it's just sitting there doing nothing at this point and taking up space.
Worthless.
So just go to my programs, I mean, add and remove programs.
No,
right.
No, wait.
Yeah, that doesn't remove everything completely.
What I would recommend, there's a program, if you go and get Revo, that's R-E-V-O, just do a Google search or go to cnet.com. And do a search for Revo.
It's at RevoUninstaller.com.
Okay.
And you can download and install that program. Use that to uninstall any software.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad I called.
We are too.
It's a fantastic program. See, Windows Uninstaller, how should I put it?
Stinks.
Doesn't work.
Does a crappy job of uninstalling stuff. It leaves a lot of bulk in your registry. Mm-hmm. Revo will will literally remove all this bloatware that's left behind. Because every time you install it, uninstall it, all it does is turn off one bit. You go to reinstall it, it puts whole new registry entries in there. It doesn't use the old ones, so the registry just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
And the other thing, Dorothea, is you're going to find that there are some choices of antivirus software that are free.
Okay.
In the Security Tango setup.
Okay.
We like Avast.
How do you spell this?
A-V-A-S-T, just like Avast me hearties. Arr.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
Right. So you want to, that's one of the ones, it's a very good one. There's also AVG, but right now I kind of like Avast better. And you can download that and install it. It is an antivirus program. It is excellent. It will help keep your machine clean. But dance the Security Tango first and make sure your machine is clean before you do any of the rest of it.
Thank you so much. If I could give you guys a hug, I would.
Well, we'll hold you to that.
Yeah.
We'll take a rain check.
Well, no, you know what you can do for us? Just pass the word around. Let folks know that we're over here on Jazz 90.1.
From noon to 2.
Answering your computer questions every Saturday.
Well, that's why I called, but then I thought I'd get a request at the same time.
Well, that's not a problem. No. Thank you. Thank you, Dorothea.
Thank you very much. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet.
She's a sweetheart. That was very nice. Yeah. And I, by the way, love Thelonious Monk. But the thing here is that for those of you who are listening, if you have an antivirus program that came with your computer and your computer's more than, say, 3 months old, it's very likely that that software has stopped running. So be very, very careful of that and make sure that you keep your machine clean. Dance Security Tango and make sure it's clean. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on...
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Breeze Community Broadcasting and Jazz 90.1 are proud to present an evening of wine and jazz, Thursday, September 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Memorial Art Gallery. This third annual gala fundraising event will feature wine and beer tasting, live jazz by the Rick Holland, Evan Dobbins Little Big Band, and the Bob Snyder Trio, delicious gourmet food, including chocolate sampling at a huge silent auction. Each attendee will also receive a souvenir Jazz 90.1 tasting glass. Tickets are only $25 each and can be purchased by calling 966-2660. That's 966-2660 or securely online at jazz901.org. Proceeds from an evening of wine and jazz benefit Jazz 90.1. Last year's event sold out and only a limited number of tickets will be sold this year, so get yours today.
Sound Bites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Sound Bites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
At 22 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Interesting. Two more U.S. pay TV providers, Time Warner Cable and Verizon Communications, plan to test systems to offer shows on the web to paying customers in a bid to protect their subscription revenue. Time Warner Cable and Verizon separately announced their plans Thursday and will follow Comcast, the largest U.S. cable operator, which said in July it would test a TV web TV service with some of its customers. Pay TV companies are concerned that the recession-resistant subscription revenue of cable television could be undermined if cable shows became widely available over the web, effectively cutting out the cable and satellite TV operators.
Now, wait a minute.
Which, most of which also happen to be internet operators. So yeah, they want money from both ends.
Yes, they do. Well, don't forget, internet is flat
rate. And they
want
to cap it
still. They want to cap it, but they want it to be flat rate.
Right, and tiered.
They want it to be not flat rate, but it is flat rate, so they're not making extra money. It's not that they aren't making money.
They're making enough.
They aren't making enough money. You know, God forbid they're not bleeding us dry.
Yeah, the shareholders have to have that much more.
Exactly right. So, Time Warner TV Chief Executive Jeffrey Bukes is leading an industry effort to test a concept called TV Everywhere. Time Warner Cable said its TV Everywhere trial would include the NBC Universal-owned Sci-Fi channel. Well, you'll be getting it then. Time Warner's TNT, HBO, and TBS. Cable Systems, AMC, IFC, and Sundance channel, and the BBC's BBC America. CBS Corporation and Discovery Communications, Inc. are also involved in the trial. NBC Universal, of course, is 80% owned by General Electric and 20% owned by France's Vivendi S.A. Time Warner Cable's test involves making TV shows available to the web to 5,000 homes of paying subscribers, and we all hope none of them tune in. Not a one of them. They'll be able to access the shows on the network's own website as well as on Time Warner Cable's web properties. Verizon is doing the same thing on their Fios. I want Fios. I don't think we're ever going to see Fios here.
Probably
I just don't
not.
Think we are.
Yeah.
It's TV Everywhere trial of its Fios TV Online with programming from Time Warner's Turner Networks, TNT, and TBS for no extra cost to Fios subscribers at 40 megabits per second download. DirecTV is also working on a version of TV Everywhere. So what they're looking at is, you know, right now, you can watch a lot of this stuff for free on Hulu or Juiced or whatever.
Or even the own websites.
Or even the websites of the companies. Mm-hmm. What these people are trying to do is make that unavailable to you for free and only available to you if you're a cable subscriber.
Yeah, so if you go to HBO.com to watch, The Sopranos, if you don't also subscribe to HBO on your cable TV,
it won't let you do it.
Well,
here's the interesting thing. I subscribe to a bunch of channels on my cable.
That I don't want.
But,
because they come in the package.
Yeah. But my internet service provider is not Time Warner.
Right, so you can't watch anything on...
So I won't be able to watch any of those, even though I am now paying for them. How are they going to make me whole?
And how are they going to know that you are a cable subscriber?
Yeah, especially if you go to that particular website. How's that website, you know, the program...
Right,
but that's my point. They're taking away something they're theoretically charging me for.
Yeah.
And I don't like
double
that.
Dipping.
And comparison, AOL's profits were down 9% last quarter.
That's not surprising.
To only $500 million.
Oh my heavens! Those poor people. Send them money now.
Only $500 million in profit.
in 3 months.
Yeah.
Oh.
I feel for them, but, you know, I'd be sitting.
Yeah, I take the interest on
that's
that.
That's because they bought back their 5% stake in AOL for $300 million.
Yeah, right. So give us a call and tell us about this. Are you a cable subscriber? Do you have a DVR? Are you a DirecTV subscriber? Which do you prefer? A lot of people have got those Roku boxes or Roku boxes or whatever they are. Let us know what you think, because I'm thinking of getting one of those Roku boxes myself, but I don't know yet.
I want to know how many folks are going to take advantage of that Windows Family Pack. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. For $149 to be able to get it on three machines. And
yeah,
most homes nowadays,
which is normally $200 a piece.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So give us a call, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or 1-800-790-0415. We're not just interested in your computer questions. We're interested in your opinions as well. This is your chance to give us a call and tell us what your opinions are. We don't discriminate, no matter how dumb your... I mean, we're interested in, no matter how dumb our opinions are. Everybody thinks we know so much. We're just the guys who happen to get the radio show. Our opinions are, in general, no more uninformed or informed than yours are. So feel free to just chit-chat with us. All right, our next caller is Chris. Chris, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Williamson, New York.
Ah, lovely Williamson, New York.
Yep, right near the big city of Putneyville.
Hoo-wee!
Yeah.
Okay, well, my question is I've got a HP laptop computer running Vista Home Premium, and I'm trying to install one of those Bluetooth adapters, mm-hmm, because this computer is, of course, Bluetooth capable. And
well,
this appears to be the only way I can get pictures from the cell phone to the computer.
All right, hold on. Let's back up a step. The HP laptop you've got says it's already Bluetooth compatible?
It's compatible, but it needed one of those devices and enable it. Well, you know, something to enable it.
Well,
to do
that Bluetooth compatible usually means that there's an HP Bluetooth card you put inside the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Or Wibot is an HP plug-in unit that goes right into the USB port. Right.
And that may be conflicting with the circuitry that's inside the computer expecting to see a Bluetooth card.
Oh.
Because marketing it as Bluetooth capable is silly, because any computer is Bluetooth capable,
yep,
by plugging in a USB thing.
Chris, here's another way. Check on the side of the phone. Quite often you can get the micro memory cards.
Mm-hmm.
What I do on mine is I've got a
little... No, mine doesn't have that. I know that.
It doesn't have a memory card in it?
All right, here's the deal.
Darn.
Well, it's the software I'm having trouble with.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't install. It keeps saying not completely installed.
Probably because it doesn't have the Bluetooth capabilities.
He's loading a Bluetooth USB dongle, so it should work, unless it's conflicting with something else.
The first thing to look at is take a look at the box you got this thing in.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say that the software is compatible with Vista?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So you know that part so far.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to install it, what happens? What's the error message you get?
Well, first it gets a message that it's installed successfully, then a little box pops up and says it was not completely installed. It failed.
Something's blocking it.
Yeah, you may need to uninstall it using the Revo uninstaller we've talked about earlier to completely uninstall everything related to this card,
mm-hmm,
and then try again.
I wonder
or
if
even download. That shouldn't prevent installing. Your antivirus program may prevent installing. Because most instructions say to temporarily disable your, mm-hmm, antivirus because it can think a legitimate install is a bad program installing.
Especially in Vista.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
and even go to the HP website to download possibly updated drivers rather than use the drivers on the CD.
They,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could be awful old.
Yeah.
But yeah, Vista has a tendency though to overprotect.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest complaints.
Right.
Yeah, so the security thing in Vista, are you sure you want to install this? The user access controls, UAC?
Yeah, something like
that.
So definitely make sure that A, you want to install it, B, that you answer yes to all the questions, but also C, make sure you have disabled your antivirus and firewall just for the time of the install.
And then disconnect yourself from the internet during the install, too. So once you disable your antivirus, disconnect from the internet, so you lower the risk of getting infected while
right.
it's turned off.
Yeah, AVG would stop that. You know,
it shouldn't, but it's Vista.
Oh, it's Vista.
You know, and Vista gets hinky about
mm-hmm.
stuff, and it just
and it's
very weird as to what it will and won't install.
And it's very hard for the operating system or your antivirus program to recognize a legitimate install versus a virus install. So that's why most of the instructions for any installation always recommend to temporarily disable your antivirus.
Okay,
but it
I'll
could
try
be possible.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And that's one of the big problems with installing things is what else do they conflict with? He could have some other driver installed that's conflicting with this Bluetooth driver.
Right.
I wonder, it often doesn't work, but you can try installing in safe mode, which would then have no other drivers, no other extra drivers running, but a lot of the installers won't run in safe mode.
Right. All right, our next caller is Gerd. Gerd, where are you calling from?
From Victor, New York.
Victor, New York. What can we do for you?
Well, I got a couple of things. I installed that Ubuntu Jaunty.
Yep.
And it set up a partition. And it took up a ton of my free space, so I uninstalled it. You know, when I went through my defrag and all that stuff. So what I have now is when I start my computer, I still have to choose between XP or Ubuntu. Yet there's no file for Ubuntu. How do I get rid of that partition thing?
Yeah, the bootloader is still there asking which OS you want to run, even though you don't have that second OS.
Right.
It's the MBR. It's the master boot record. I think it's FDisk, isn't it?
Yeah, FDisk/MBR.
Yeah. If you go to a command prompt in Windows.
Yes.
And you type in FDisk/. That's a forward slash, right?
Yeah.
FDisk, FDISK space, /MBR, which is short for Master Boot Record.
Okay.
The theory is that will update the Master Boot Record for you.
That's now, the theory.
That's the theory. And the reason I say it's the theory is because what you really need to do is before you do this, because messing with the Master Boot Record is always a little hinky. So that's the word of the day, hinky. So if you're going to do this, first back up all your data.
Well, here's the other problem. I have a Seagate, just like the other gentleman said before, and it just took forever. And what it ended up doing was, number one, backing up my system, and then threw it back onto my computer, and it was like I don't know, the Irish flag, you know, the green and red and white and all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
I had to go through it to get rid of that. So I don't even use the Seagate right now because I'm not sure what it's going to do to me.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've misconfigured the automatic backup software.
Yeah.
Actually.
So you can manually drag your documents folder, your desktop folder, etc., onto that Seagate drive and do a manual backup, which would at least give you a backup of your stuff.
Okay.
Right. What it sounds like is you probably set the Seagate to mirror.
Mirror.
Yeah, and what that does is makes an exact duplicate and makes sure that the two drives are always identical. So when you drag an extra copy of the stuff over to it, it says, oh, you must want this in both places, and then drags it right back again as an extra copy.
And it uses up space like you wouldn't believe.
Absolutely, you've just duplicated every file on your system.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is make sure you've got a decent backup. First, make sure you turn off mirroring in the backup software.
Okay.
Or it may be called syncing.
It might be called syncing. But make sure you turn that off, and then you can kind of wipe out the Seagate again and just move all your data over once. Just your data. Because you only want to move your data over. You don't really want to move your operating system over. Because if your system dies, you're going to want to make sure that you install the operating system fresh again, because otherwise you just have the same problem you had before, and it'll die again fast.
Recreating it.
Right? You just want to save the data. Once you've done that, then you can do FDisk/MBR. Rewrite the boot record. 99 times out of 100, that will not cause a problem.
I've also posted.
So that shouldn't be a big deal, but you're just, you know, for that 1%, you're just making the backup to be sure.
Okay, when you said FDisk, there's a pause and then regular slash and MBR.
Right, yes. The slash that's under the question mark key. Okay. FDiscSpace/MBARM, which is short for Master Boot Record.
Okay.
And I've also posted a link on instructions how to remove the Unix the Ubuntu bootloader using the Windows CD.
Well,
How to reclaim your hard drive space that Linux was taking.
There you go.
All right, let us know
how
you make
that. Well, I ended up using the Revo uninstaller.
No. Yeah. No. Read the instructions that Steve posted on our website at soundbites.org.
Yeah, Revo won't remove a second operating system. It will only remove programs.
But these directions will tell you how to do that.
Can I ask one more question?
Do we have time? We don't have time. Do we?
Let's go ahead. Take
all right,
more.
Go ahead.
My wife added a whole bunch of games. Phenomen, FENOMEN games down on my computer. I mean, it's the longest list I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I've been trying to remove it, and I don't know how to do it.
Revo.
Revo will do that for you.
I did that, and Revo says it can't find them.
Are they web games, or are they games installed on your computer?
Web games.
Then
just delete the link.
Yeah, just delete those links that are on the desktop, and that'll get rid of them. They're just tiny little files on your desk.
When you open that file, it goes to the web page and only runs the game on the web page.
Just delete those off your desktop.
And a lot of those games, I don't know about this one specifically, but a lot of those web games can be dangerous because you agree to allow spyware on your computer in return for playing the game free.
Which is one of the reasons why I want to uninstall them.
Well,
they call it marketing data.
They won't get rid of the spyware, so now you've got to dance the security tango to make sure your system is clean.
Very good.
After you delete those files, dance the tango. All righty. Thanks.
That can be tricky. Who was it? Wild Tangent was one of the first web games that did that. They install marketing data on your computer so you can play the games for free.
And Cool Web Search.
Cool Web Search was the other one, and those are really hard to get out of your computer now.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, our next caller is Will. Will, where are you calling from?
Brighton,
what's your question?
I tried to use Firefox as much as possible.
Good.
And there's one thing that I'm having a problem getting around, and that is when I'm going to download something from a site, maybe a podcast or MP3, and I go to do that in Firefox at the site, and if I click on it, it might take me into QuickTime or whatever. If I'm able to do it with Internet, if I go to the same site on Internet Explorer, it gives me an option to save target as.
Yeah, Firefox is trying to be nice to you and play that file right inside of Firefox.
I don't want that.
Right-click on the link.
Okay.
And you should have a save target as or save download as, something like that.
It doesn't give that save target as in Firefox. It'll only do it in Internet Explorer.
But it should have a different wording, like save file as.
Save download as. There should be something in that menu when you right-click on the
I'll
link.
I'll give it to you, and I have it here on my screen, and it doesn't...
I've got save link as.
Yeah, I don't want the link. I want the file.
Well, that is the file. It's just a different wording.
Sometimes it's a link to the file, sometimes it's the actual file. Because I've seen it where you do save link as and you just get the HTML. Sometimes it's save link download as.
Right. So that's generally 99% of the time that would be the same thing. We have to take a quick break, I'm afraid. We're going to have to I'll look up this and maybe we'll talk about it after the break.
That'd be great.
But I got to go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites on...
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop,
Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations. So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
This is Devon. Join me every Monday night from 9 until midnight as I kick off Jazz Horizons right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm feeling it.
Let's do it. Tell you what, if you're the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, you could get, this is literally the last few tickets for the biggest birthday party bash going. So pick up the phones, be the 10th caller at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and you could be a proud owner of some tickets to the greatest show on earth.
That's right, and that show is next Saturday, September 5th, at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside. The party's from 11 to 3. We'll be live on the air from 12 to 2. The rest of the time, we'll be partying down with all of you. And then I don't know, somebody's got to bring the aspirin for later. We're going to have, a cash bar and, munchies, a birthday cake. It'll be a cash bar, not an open bar. I keep saying that.
And then the big question is going to be, where do we go after?
Right, right. We have to figure that out. It's the after party, you know, it's all about the after party. You know that.
Yeah, who cares about the party? We want the after party.
Right, right, right. But it's going to be a great time. If you win, and it's at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside. Thank God after today I don't have to say that again. One of the things that you have to know is if you win the tickets today, you got to pick them up at the party. Don't come down here. They won't have them here. Pick them up at the party afterwards. And that's how you'll get them. We're really looking forward to it. Dave and Steve and I will be there. It's going to be a 20-year anniversary, not to be believed. I think it's important to know that the 20th anniversary is, I believe, electronic. So anybody who wants to bring us computer toys and stuff can do that. So it'll be kind of nice. I'm looking forward to that. People dropping off iPods and laptops. And
I can't get her to do it.
Can't get her to do what?
Well, we've got a winner.
We've got a winner.
But, you know, my lovely wife has been taking the calls for the past few weeks.
And God bless her. She has a wonderful human.
And I've been trying to get
her
to at least come on mic and say, we have a winner. That's all she's got to say. Well, but she is so mic shy.
She did forget at the noon break and walked in front of the camera.
That's right. She actually walked in front of the camera. So somebody out there has a shot of the back of her head.
Which then I remembered, well, I should start saving these camera shots and, yeah, right, and play the movie back.
Up on YouTube.
Yep, yep, yep. So, yeah, that's our...
Actually, that'd be cool. Then you can sync it to the audio.
Ooh,
there's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work for somebody. It's not going to be us. Here's an interesting thing for all you Mac people. We've been talking about Snow Leopard. Although Mac owners running the older Tiger operating system can use the cheapest upgrade to install the brand new Snow Leopard, doing so is a violation of Apple's license agreement, according to reports Thursday on the web. Officially, Apple has pitched the $29 single license Snow Leopard upgrade only to customers running Mac OS 10 10.5, known as Leopard. This is another one of those instances. Can Microsoft, how many people does Apple have on their payroll that can't think of a new name?
Well, see, it's
leopard. It's snow leopard. Well, it's Def Leppard.
It's leopard, but better. The three R's. Refined, revised, rejuvenated. So it's there's very few user features available.
Let me get
it's
my
mostly
heat,
under
let me
the
get
hood.
My hip boots because it's getting deep in here.
Well, and that's one
and
of the reasons.
Are snow leopards more endangered than regular leopards?
Yeah,
probably.
Okay. Yes, they are. They're,
that's maybe not a good idea.
There's also interesting rumors. I haven't found it yet myself. That there's a picture of a snow leopard on the box, and there's a theory that this snow leopard is a wild leopard that they scavenged the pictures of. And they had to do a little editing to make it presentable because what do snow leopards do in the wild when they're hungry?
Yeah, exactly. So they had to clean them up a little bit. So apparently Apple says that the $29 snow leopard upgrade will work properly on Tiger-equipped Macs, according to Walt Mossberg, who's the technology columnist at the Wall Street Journal. But it is against the law to do so. Tiger users, according to Apple, are required to do a clean install that involves backing up all of your data, erasing the hard drive, and then installing Snow Leopard. And, of course, you can't install Snow Leopard on anything except an Intel-based Mac anyway. So you got to be a little careful with that.
That goes back 3.5 years now. So it's kind of a harsh cutoff. But from the performance reports, that the first Intel Mac, lowly Intel MacBook, had so much more performance than the high-end PowerMac G5 Tower because the Intel Core 2 chip is so much better than the PowerPC chip. And one of the thoughts
is... Yeah, but
is
aren't you... I can go back and look at all
it
the
was.
Times...
It was. The Pentium... The Pentium chips were slower and hotter than the equivalent PowerPC chips. And the president... No, the president of Intel, what's his name? Paul Ortolini... came on stage with Steve Jobs wearing his bunny suit because Apple had that commercial about the smoking Pentiums for a while. So Paul Ortolini, president of Intel, came on stage and said, "We were listening, and the new Core architecture is much, much cooler and much, much faster." So they caught up, partly because IBM really didn't do any more innovation in the PowerPC line. But
well, there is that.
There is that, yeah.
All right, so tell us what you think. Will you be upgrading from Tiger to Snow Leopard?
Well, yeah, and that point
do
is
you, care?
You should have already bought Leopard a year and a half ago when it came out.
That's exactly right. So give us a call at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, 1-800-790-0415.
And that actually brings up a point that if you still have Tiger and have not upgraded to Leopard on a PowerPC machine, so you can't run Snow Leopard, you better buy Leopard now because pretty soon Apple's going to stop selling it. In fact, they may have already now that Snow Leopard is out. So come 6 months, a year, when you want to buy Leopard because you have to get a new program, it won't be available. We've run into the same thing now. People that have Panther, which the previous version to Tiger, and want to run brand new software have to have Tiger, and you can't buy Tiger.
And we were talking about that, CS3, CS4.
Right. Adobe made a real kerfuffle it goes along with Hinky, kerfuffle, in the community by saying that Adobe Creative Suite 4, CS4, is the current version of Creative Suite, and except for a couple of little minor things, works fine with Snow Leopard. CS3 is old, and they're not going to bother testing it. So all you people with CS3 should have bought CS4 by now.
Right.
And then the CEO of Adobe came out and said, the next day, wait a minute, one of our guys did look at Photoshop CS3. It seems to be okay.
Right.
But it's an older version. They may not test it with the new operating system.
And they're certainly not going to upgrade it.
Right.
CS5?
Well, CS5 is probably going to be out next year. Adobe's on a 2-year cycle. But I know a lot of people, the Creative Suite is like $1,000. A lot of people skip a version. Because it is such an expensive program. Yep. But the new features you get are really, really cool. So that's that trade-off between price and features.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Our next caller is Bob. Bob, where are you calling from?
From Greece. I'm about a block from you guys right now.
Excellent.
Quick question.
Yeah.
You wanted opinions, or you're kind of soliciting that. What do you think of this legislation they're talking about with the president being able to shut down the internet? And technically, can he do that?
Well, anything that we pass a law that lets him do anything he wants is fine. But I haven't read the law yet myself. I haven't seen the actual bill, so I can't speak to the actual wording. I don't believe it lets the president do it. I believe it's yet another act of Congress. Even if it is the president, I don't think he'll do it, you know, all by himself.
And it would be virtually impossible to shut down the millions of routers carrying the internet locally.
That was my thinking. Yeah. I mean, how could they?
The whole point of the internet was to survive a nuclear attack.
Yeah, exactly.
And interestingly enough, though, listening to some of the radio shows I do, a couple of the hosts that went on a tour of China a couple of weeks ago for the eclipse, and inside China, where they were in Beijing, especially the very high technology, everyone had cell phones, but there was, I forget what it was, there was some anti-Chinese protest going on, and China was able to shut down Twitter, shut down Facebook. Shut down a lot of the news sources so that people couldn't read the anti-Chinese news, which is interesting. So that, you know, they apparently have enough control. Although the smaller sites, Twitterific was a big one that you could still read and write to Twitter, but Twitter.com itself you couldn't get to. So oppressive governments can have control. So maybe our own government will become oppressive enough to do so.
Do you think that's already in place, or are they working on it?
Well, technologically, it's not that easy to do. What we're talking about, folks, for those of you who haven't followed this in the news, there's a Senate. In the Senate, there's a bill called the Cybersecurity Act of 2009 that essentially wants to be able to control cyberspace in the United States. It could give the president the ability to turn off the internet for public use in the case of an emergency. The original bill, the original version of the bill, was written by Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia. It was presented back in April, and it stated that the president could turn off the internet in the event of a cyber emergency. But it didn't say what constitutes a cyber emergency. The new version changed the wording to allow the president to declare a cybersecurity emergency, which is different. He can declare an emergency just like we used to have colors. You know, red and green
orange.
And blue,
right.
And
I think we still do, but everyone ignores them.
Magenta and whatever those are. So basically, it's designed to protect critical infrastructures if the country is under attack, like the nation's power and the water and the traffic lights and things like that. What they're talking about is shutting down access to those, locking down access to those. Yes, the original bill, which was back in April, said the president could basically shut down the internet. That is not what the new bill apparently is saying now. Like I said, I haven't read the bill itself, but this is what's being reported in the media right now.
That makes a lot more sense.
That makes a lot more sense. And, of course, it also is talking about setting standards for cybersecurity measures. So there would be a standard that all of the internet would have to work within. So you would have to have, you know, a certain level of protection and a certain level of checking for viruses and a certain level of everything else. So those are the things that are in the Cybersecurity Act now. The Senate certainly needs to clarify some of their wording. In order for us to understand all that better, it certainly gives the potential for the government to control the internet like Iran and China do. But there's going to be a whole bunch of changes.
It's like closing all of the ports.
Right.
There's tens of thousands of ports around the country.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's a nice idea. Conceptually, it's a good thing. You know, to be able to protect the nation, but it depends on how they do it, and we just don't know that yet.
And
potentially dangerous too.
Yeah.
Well, they'd also mess up a free lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And according to the Department of Homeland Security, the current threat level is yellow.
I don't think it's ever been below yellow.
And for domestic and international flights, the threat level is orange.
Sure it is. Of course it is.
Guys, I'm so glad you're back on.
Thank you.
Have fun next week.
And don't forget to tell all your friends, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
One of my very few favorite quotes from President Ronald Reagan is the 8 worst words you can ever hear. I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
As the black helicopters land on your lawn.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we really don't know what the bill is going to say because, as with any bill, it goes through 15 committees and 700 backroom sessions before it actually comes out, and we don't know what it's going to end up being. So let's not get overly excited just yet. We're going to take a break. It's 55 minutes after the hour. We're not going to take a break.
We're going to end.
We are done, dude.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Holy cow, you're right. It's 55 minutes after the hour. We're done. We got about another 30 seconds before we're off the air. And so I want to thank everybody who called in. Apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Yes, we're done with tickets at this point. So the whining will commence in the forums any minute now. Feel free to whine all you like. There's nothing we can do about it. We'll be back in next week at the Radisson on September 5th for the 20th anniversary edition for the longest-running computer show in the known universe. For Dave, Steve, I'm Nick. It's Soundbites. Thanks for listening.